This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I know him.
Rich Eisen.
I know him.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Are you kidding me, JJ?
How many weeks do you give JJ?
I'm surprised with the struggles of it.
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, Pro Football Hall of Famer Kurt Warner. NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero. Coming up, actor Jared Harris. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number 3 of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Here we are on Disney Plus, the ESPN app, every single day, 12 to 3 Eastern Time. Same thing with ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Also, Sirius XM Channel 80. Hello, podcast listeners. Hey. No Contest Wrestling is the latest episode being recorded later on today.
Sure.
Is O'Shea Jackson Jr. within shouting distance anywhere? Here. Is
he here? The coming? Last text I got from him was...
Okay.
A word I can't see on TV.
Okay.
On my way.
Ah.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Why would he curse before saying on my way?
Well, because I told him Sarah's has to leave a little early today, so if he wants to come get beautified
yes.
for TV, then
yes.
he should get beautiful. Here by a certain time.
Why would that make him curse?
Like, oh, crap, let me get ready.
I'm oh, gonna I here. See. I see. Okay. So he's not coming in threatening some sort of an actionable moment because he thinks it's a hostile work environment.
Listen, Rich, you've met him.
I mean, he's the one who's hostile.
I can't tell you what's going to happen when he gets here. I don't know what's going to come out of his mouth.
Okay. Well, hopefully he can join us so I can wish him a happy Thanksgiving.
Hostile. He's a wild boy. Who knows?
My friend is not hostile.
Okay.
Your friend.
Your those friend. Two love each other.
It's which is great. I know. Dion loves him. Everybody
that,
loves him.
Nothing Mooch aggravates him. Me more than
I'm
that,
adorable,
Rich.
I mean, we face the facts.
Adorable?
Okay. Nothing makes me mad.
Right. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. So Shedeur Sanders is getting the full-on starting quarterback treatment, as in full week of practice, as in all the reps, as in media availabilities. As you get closer to kickoff, it's a Wednesday, which means quarterbacks speak. Oh, yeah. He is the starting quarterback of the Cleveland Browns. And, you know, it's interesting that he's getting another start from a coaching staff and a team that everybody thought Dylan Gabriel would get the shot again because he's coming out of concussion protocol. But no, it's Shedeur getting the shot with a choice. The coach has a choice. It's not like hiding behind the, well, Dylan Gabriel's not healthy, so we got to start Shedeur. Or he's not hiding behind anything because there's nothing to hide. Even though people think, certain people think that he's being sabotaged by the Cleveland Browns over the entire process. Cam Newton might call it sabotage. I think William Shatner calls it sabotage.
You say sabotage. I say sabotage.
He's it. William Shatner calls it sabotage.
Like, what are we doing? What are we, week 13? I mean, we all knew we were going to get to this point, right?
TJ,
this is not a surprise.
Let's put it this way. We all assumed
we didn't assume. Remember, I get the script. I haven't been, like, flaunting it to you guys.
I didn't know it was TJ a bit knew. Here. I thought you were having a take. I didn't know it was a bit.
But honestly, it's a take. The fact that we knew that we were going to be here at some point. Make him wait 13
days? I was hoping.
We knew. It was already
well, ringing. I was counting on the Browns franchise and their ineptitude when it comes to quarterbacks that eventually the third or fourth guy
was
would
start
a game, no matter who it was.
Yeah.
Could have been you, could have been Mike.
Yeah.
Well, so with the conversation being about sabotage, depending on who's saying it, Cam Newton. By the way, we should do a new game, Cam Newton or William Shatner. I don't know what the game is, but I just like saying those two words and names.
I'm saying Wolf had the game. Who said it? We should bring that back.
Okay.
Who said it?
This was brought up to Shedeur about his relationship with Kevin Stefanski and if he was being sabotaged beforehand.
Not from you, but all your supporters out there say that Kevin Stefanski was sabotaging you. So you just want to start trouble, huh?
No, I want to ask you what your relationship with him is.
Yeah, well, what people do outside the building isn't really in my control. It's not in my power. So
awesome.
I don't. Yeah, like I go out there and tell them to do whatever. You know, that's not nothing I could control or nothing I could do. But overall, you know, I'm just happy to be here. Coach Stefanski, you've been coaching since I got here, and you've been doing a very great job, you know, with everything that's going on.
But what is your relationship like with him and when we don't see you guys together?
Definitely like a coach. You know, he tells me what I need to do on and off the field. We've definitely grown. Our relationship and everything has grown, so I'm just thankful to be here.
How do you not love that kid?
No notes, Shador. You're trying to stir stuff up, are you? No, I'm just trying to find out what your relationship is with Willard. What do you think? We're going out to dinner? What are we doing? What is this?
Right. Also, he was...
He's in charge. He's the employer. I'm employee currently number one, you know, at the position, but I'm not going to call myself number one. I'm just happy to be here. I'm a humble guy. I'm following Rex's advice. It's all we when we win and I when we lose, blah, blah, blah. You know? Okay. Let's ascribe everything to this kid that's negative, if that's what we wish to do, and let's ascribe everything positive to him, which we wish to do. And I always tend towards the glass being half full, unless Jim Gaffigan's here with bourbon. All seriousness, I mean, great answer. What's he going to say? Yeah, he's the coach. I'm the quarterback. He's helping me out here. Oh, yeah, no, I wasn't taking, you know, scout team reps when I thought I deserved it. Remember when I was miming to y'all? You're all thinking I have no chance to be a starting quarterback in this league? Well, is that what he should say? I mean, what do you want to say? What do you want him to say?
They want something to get him caught.
Yep.
No, I don't know about something to get caught. I mean, I don't know. I don't want to ascribe, you know, negative... Well, to media members.
It's a very odd question. Like he's telling Cam Newton to say these things on First Take?
No, I think what he's saying is this is what's being said outside the building, and these people are your supporters. It's interesting he said your supporters, because that does imply like he is. I thought that was an excellent answer of Shador, because if you are implying that he's pulling any strings and the Sanders family's like telling Cam, go on the air and
right,
say
exactly.
It's being sabotaged. You know, all this stuff, Dion's supposed to be a helicopter dad, and he's supposed to be screwing everything up, and there's supposed to be reality show cameras there, and he's also not only supposed to be a helicopter dad, he's supposed to be all over the place to create an atmosphere that the coach is in a hot seat. Guess what? Stefanski is on the hot seat all by himself, based on the circumstances around everything, even though I don't think he deserves it. I think... You know, if I'm him and he doesn't want to be there anymore, the one thing I'd say, steer me towards New York. Get me towards the Giants where they're not going to fire me and I've got Jackson Dart and I've got a whole bunch of people. You know?
So many media members have just been so weird about this kid kind of since the draft. And it's just so bizarre. Can't we just watch him play football and assess the all 22 and the tape, like Kurt does, and a lot of so many other
you remember
people.
Kurt said,
like, why can't we just do that?
And Kurt loves Dion as much as I love Dion. And Kurt's like, you know, I saw an incomplete. There's just, you know, he made some throws. Yes,
yeah, he made a cool throw, but it was pretty average performance. They took him off the field down by the goal line. Like, let's just watch him play a few games then assess him as a football player. I don't know why we have to be so weird.
Well, I mean, again, because it's his last name. Let's be honest here. He's a famous kid, and everyone in college, you know. Coached by his dad, a lot of people thought he was being coddled by, you know, and in the NFL without his dad, he would not be able to stand on his own 2 feet.
And maybe that's true, but let's just give him the chance to either stand or fail.
I'm glad he's getting the chance.
Yeah.
Again, why am I blanking on a caller's name from Virginia?
Well, was it Jackie?
Jackie.
It was Jackie. Yes.
Jackie from Virginia. We put the video on our Instagram page. What, she called herself an internet auntie? Who's like, I'm watching Browns games now.
The only reason.
Yeah.
The only reason. Yeah. I'm sure she's not the only person who is now suddenly taking an interest in Browns games, which, by the way, for a 3-8 team, and I'm in charge of the organization, I'm putting somebody out there who's making the tent larger.
I made sure on my multi-view the Browns was up last week. Yeah. You know, I'm going to do it again this week.
What do you mean?
So are a lot of other people.
Your multi-view, it's not Ashton's?
Well, I mean, I had my iPad, you understand, because he had the big TV.
Oh, he can't. Oh, the Bears have got to be on the main screen, huh?
Yeah, but the Browns were sound the second on, hour game.
Okay, very good. So. That's true. They were in the late week.
And then I put the Cowboys on the big TV.
Okay, Jared Harris is coming out. We have our own What's More Likely for just the Thanksgiving games. Hit it.
What?
What's More Likely?
Never say never, but never.
All right, Christopher.
Hey, everybody.
Thanksgiving triple header, John Madden celebration edition of What's More Likely.
Yeah, let's do it. These are going to be three really fun games, I believe.
Okay.
Let's start right off the bat. More likely, the team with the best chance to win the NFC North, Packers or Lions?
I'm going to go Packers.
That tie, huh?
Well, no. They've already beaten the Lions once. And they haven't played the and they haven't played the Bears yet. Now the Lions have played the Bears and they 50-burgered them, so they do have that one up. But they've got one on the Lions here, and they're also a half game in front of the Lions. And we have seen the Packers stroll into Detroit and ruin the Thanksgiving in recent memory. Have we not?
We have.
So and they've got a better defense, or more consistent, healthier. How does that sound? I mean, Micah and Aiden Hutchinson are two defensive player of the year monsters. But outside of that, I think the Packers have a better collective right now. So I'll go Green Bay. What else?
Should be really fun between these two offenses, I believe. More likely to be the higher total. Jahmyr Gibbs total yards.
Whatever it is. I don't know. I don't even know what the next
A. Whatever it is, A.
Whatever it is.
Or Jordan Love passing yards.
Enough.
Wait a second. Oh, that's
Jordan Love has been under 180 the last three games. No touchdowns in three of the last four games. Jahmyr Gibbs, if you want his total yards totals of late.
I think Jordan Love is going to have a good day, though.
172, 146, Jahmyr 264. Gibbs.
Dude. So Gibbs has out-totaled him the last couple of weeks, right?
Yeah, two of the last 3 weeks.
I'm going to drop the bit and I'll go with Jordan Love just because, again, passing yards. It's pretty significant to have the amount of scrimmage yards that Jahmyr Gibbs has had.
Yeah, he's been on a heater.
He's running away from people.
He's been on a heater.
What else?
Let's go to Dallas. TJ, more likely pass catching duo to combine for more yards and touchdowns. Kelce, Rashee Rice, or the 88s. George Pickens,
the 88s.
And CeeDee Lamb.
Irv is like taking a magic marker and then completing the three to make an eight, and then drawing another eight.
Troy should let him wear eight.
It's like Kill Bill, the crazy 88s. Let's go.
I'll go
more yards and touchdowns.
I'll go Pickens and Lamb. Rice is questionable right now.
Yeah.
You know, he was cramping, or was that a hamstring or something?
Something.
I'll go Pickens and Lamb. They've been on fire lately. What else?
It's gonna be pretty.
And remember,
fun.
We don't retire numbers, so he technically could find a way.
Oh, that's true. He could just he could wear eight.
Okay,
that's true. More likely to be the higher number. How about this one? People who watch KC Dallas in millions.
Okay.
Or total points scored in the game.
I'll go total points scored in the game.
The total is 52.5 right now.
I'll go total points scored in the game. I mean, 50 million is a tall order.
Yes.
But I think it will reach it. But I think this is just going to be as advertised. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be filled with wow moments. I can't wait for it. I can't wait for it. But we have to.
At least 24 hours.
Yeah, like, well,
what's more likely? 20, it happens now, or we have to wait
hours
for it?
Or something like
I'll
that.
Go. I will go total points in the game.
Okay. Shootout tomorrow.
How about that?
That's fun. Yes. All right, in the nightcap, another slobber knocker. These two teams played last year, I think, over 70 points in both games. Is it more likely Joe Burrow looks like an MVP and the Bengals win, or Derrick Henry runs wild in a Ravens blowout?
Oh, I'll go Derrick Henry runs wild in a Ravens blowout. And that has nothing to do with Joe Burrow's abilities or my belief in him or my love for watching him play. And my thankfulness that he is the guy that we heard in the very first segment of saying, I am a football player. I play football. I do not care how many wins or losses my team has for me to make a decision about coming back. I love playing football. I'm not worried about playing football because I am a football player. I love all of it. It's one of the many reasons why I am thankful for him and thankful that he is choosing to play on a Thanksgiving night to make this game far more interesting. But that said, Derrick Henry against this defense is a recipe for Thanksgiving eats. Certainly since Lamar doesn't look like Lamar. Lamar's last two games have chopped not only TJ, but yours truly out of our guillotine league. So there's that. I'm not bitter. Trust me, I'm not bitter.
Of course not.
Not a bitter man.
Cooper, still alive.
He is that.
All right, last one. I'm thankful for both of you guys. And I'm thankful for your football teams. Because you provide us with endless hilarity. More likely to forever be the biggest Thanksgiving Day blunder. Leon Lett versus the Dolphins, or of course, the butt fumble.
Why? What is this? I don't know what you're doing here.
What do you mean? I mean, just read the graphic.
Leon Lett, touching a football that he should not have touched is a massive blunder. In the snow, that the game was over. The game was over.
It was snowing in Dallas, which
the
was
game
crazy.
Was over.
It was done.
Hey, kids, there used to be a hole in the roof of old Texas Stadium because Cowboys fans would always say.
Well, everyone said.
So it's because God wants to watch his favorite team.
It wasn't just Cowboys fans. It was
the
Sports Illustrated.
And that also my brother and I, when we would watch the show Dallas on a Friday night in Staten Island, New York, and my parents in our house basement, we all got very excited when they showed the stadium this part. Like, I don't know why that got us excited. It was like, we're sports fans. They love sports too.
Isn't that amazing? My God, the roof.
J.R. Ewing goes to Dallas Cowboys game.
One of my earliest memories is watching Dallas with my mom on a Friday night.
I hear you.
I can't remember anything else.
But I'm talking this out like it's a Who Wants to Be a Millionaire thing, because that caused the end of the game. The game was already pretty much done between the Patriots and the Jets. It was going to be the Patriots night. So it wasn't a game-ending play, but to see Mark Sanchez run into the taint of his own lineman in front of the entire nation, fall down and fumble, is a blunder. But it didn't cost them the game, just his own.
That's true. It was already a blowout
just
at that
point. Jets organization's.
Metaphor.
Metaphor or just it's just embarrassing.
Yeah.
The other one was actually game-altering.
Leon Lett wins.
Okay. That's what's more likely, everybody. Before we get to Jared Harris and bring him out here from our green room, ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive makes bundling easy and affordable. Get a multi-policy discount by combining your motorcycle, RV, boat, ATV, and more. All your protection in one place. Bundle and save at Progressive.com. He's an awesome actor. In everything that he does, Reawakening's available on Apple and Prime Video, and A House of Dynamite on Netflix, and Jared Harris on Disney Plus and ESPN Next.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the Thumbtack app. Download today. As you know, managing maintenance, repair, and operations is never easy. But for the ones who always rise to the challenge, Grainger has your back. From professional-grade products you can count on to fast, dependable delivery. They're there to help you keep things running smoothly. Plus, their technical product specialists are here to help answer your toughest questions. And because Grainger knows safety is always a priority, they're committed to being your partner in protecting both your people and your facilities. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
This episode is presented by State Farm. Having insurance isn't the same as having State Farm. It's like needing the protection of an offensive guard on the football field, but getting an elementary school crossing guard. Sure, they're both guards, but you can only trust one to keep your quarterback safe when the game is on the line. So don't settle for just any insurance when there's State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Our radio audience, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, just returned. We just saw a clip of Reawakening, as we mentioned, available now on Apple and Prime Video. Jared Harris is here. And the things I love about movies like this one, Jared, because we also just had Vince Gilligan, speaking of Apple, talking about Pluribus. We had him in last week. And it's just writing stuff or performing in things where, what would you do? How would you react?
Yeah.
Right. Because again, the clip we just saw of the father welcoming in a way, the 14-year-old daughter who runs away and reappears as a 24-year-old coming back. You sound angry. You sound aggrieved and angry. Like, so how really, like, how would you handle it? Right.
I think part of what's going on is that there's a sort of the two of them are kind of teaming up, you know, and he doesn't really understand why his wife doesn't have the same questions as he does, because he wants to know, is it really her? I mean, he wants to believe it's her, but at the same time, there's some red flags that are going off in his mind. So, and if it's not her, well, that's a pretty terrible thing to do to somebody.
Correct.
Is to show up and pretend to be the person that they've been waiting 10 years to come back.
And that person deserves the scorn and the questioning.
Yeah, if that is her,
the withering
exactly.
question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, and then, the brilliant thing about it at the end of the day is the thriller element of is it her or isn't it her is the sort of the carrot, if you like. But ultimately, it's the sort of investigation of the kind of difference in the male and female psyche. And there's an opportunity for happiness, which the mother embraces.
Mm-hmm.
But very much in keeping with that male mind, he wants to know the facts. He needs to know the details before he can settle his mind to this. He needs to know the facts so he can get at the truth. But the truth might not make you happy. You know, the illusion might make you happier.
Again, it's called Reawakening, available now on Apple and Prime Video. And it's interesting that you mentioned Netflix before, because you're on that too.
Yeah.
And again, we just talked about it with Tracy Letts last week. A House of Dynamite is riveting, frightening, and all in one. And you play a Secretary of Defense whose day begins on a golf course.
Yeah.
And it ends in a way that I don't think I want to reveal.
Yeah.
Because, spoiler alert. So what intrigued you about that project?
Catherine Bigelow's making a movie again, and they said that she's interested in you for a role, and I was like, well, I'm on board already. Then I chatted to her. Then she wanted to make sure I wasn't a lunatic. And then,
what do you mean by that?
Well, they want to make sure that you're creating an environment, a working environment, and you want to make sure that you're bringing people in who have got the same mindset as you, if you like, about creating that work environment. And then she sent me the script, and I mean, I was a page turner. So yeah.
So when you're shooting, I didn't ask this as Tracy Letts, so I'm going to correct that error here. When you're shooting it, first time we see you is in a Zoom square.
Yeah.
Right. Because you're Secretary of Defense on a conversation that's happening, you know, with people who are spread out all across the globe. And then we wind up seeing how your day begins, because that's the beauty of this movie, is it's about an 18-20 minute period that just keeps being re-racked backwards.
And you're working your way up the chain of command with each different section.
I didn't even recognize that.
Yeah.
You're right. Okay.
You're getting closer and closer to the people who have to make this call. And, you know, the other people are gathering the information and they're passing it up to the next level. And they have recommendations. But by the time you get to that third section with the Secretary of Defense and then the president's ultimately the one who's got to make the call. But the person who could advise him is the Secretary of Defense. And he asked for his opinion, but he's so distracted about what may or may not happen to his daughter that he's taken his eye off that ball, and he's now focused on that. He's trying to figure out if he can save his daughter.
Because she's living in the city of Chicago where this missile is heading after an attempt to shoot it down fails, and your character has in my mind, the line of the movie that scared me the most, which is, you know, for how much, what, $50 billion, it's a freaking coin flip.
Yeah.
Whether we're going to be able to shoot this thing down. It is, that's true, right? Like, that is, in fact.
Well, I mean, you know, the thing is, I know that there's been pushback about it, and you know, I'm not an expert, but I think that if there's a discrepancy about it, it's real world results as opposed to, you know, the results that happen from when you're doing scenarios, you know?
Right.
But also the other thing is that deterrent, that defense is only useful against ICBMs. They're not going to help you with submarine launch missiles. I mean, you have even shorter amount of time from a submarine launch missile.
I was just beginning to get back to sleep, Jared. Damn. You know, but so when you were shooting this film, though, did you have to redo the scenes over and over again, or you did them once where knowing that you're on a Zoom, but you're being shot
We started in Stratcom.
Right.
And so I was in a little small area on the studio with a wall behind me, going through all my bits that I was interacting with Stratcom.
Right.
Not having done the other bits yet.
Okay.
So then at that point, you're trying to figure out, okay, where would I be at this point? Because am I still engaged in what's happening here? Or when I'm starting to get focused on, you know, find out where she is and get the helicopter to her and everything.
Right.
Because at some point I start to drift off. And I don't know if you know, it would be real inside baseball if you notice this, but at a certain point you no longer see him.
Yeah, you are off camera.
Because I've now split my focus and I'm actually, you know, I'm no longer engaged in that, what's happening at Stratcom.
I was just fascinated by all of it. Fascinated by all of it. And so you didn't really interact with, Were you interacting with your co-stars?
I met them at lunchtime.
That's what I was about to say,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, because we're all in different parts of the studio. And then they had the real guys there who actually spent their careers in Stratcom. There's two military advisors.
Yeah, Tracy Letts said they were background actors.
Yeah, they appear in the movie. But I would, any chance I got at lunchtime, I'd sit with them and chat to them and ask them about.
So what scared you most, Chernobyl or this House of Dynamite? Learning about what happened and characters and what could happen again. Like, what left you losing sleep the most, Jared Harris?
Well, I remember I lived through Chernobyl. I remember that cloud heading towards London. And so I remember that. I remember living through that. And I also remember living through, you know, when Reagan was saber rattling and threatening the Soviet Union. Having sleepless nights thinking if you're going to wake up and see the missile streaking in the air. So they both sort of, you know, triggered trauma in my mind when I was younger. I think on an existential level, I think this one, I mean, you know, Chernobyl was it was localized. It had the ability to cause massive problems all over Western Europe. But yeah, this is a sort of end of the world scenario, isn't it?
Oh my goodness! And again, I made the mistake of watching it just about ready to go to sleep too.
Lovely. I had the same thing. I didn't sleep for 5 days after I saw the movie. And I knew what was going to happen as well.
Yeah. Jared Harris here on the Rich Eisen Show. All right, last time you were here was in support of Chernobyl, and you talked about. Are you still a Man U fan?
Oh, I am. Okay. Yeah, it's been a very, very painful decade, but go on.
No, I'm just.
We had such a good time. You can't begrudge the whippings and the scourges that one has to take now during the last 12 years.
Well, I'm bringing it up also because I just attended my first ever Premier League match game
between
Arsenal and Fulham, and I saw it at Fulham.
Lovely ground.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah,
it's. You know, it was smaller than what I would expect, yeah. Right? It's one of the smallest venues.
The developers have been trying to buy that for a long time. It's right on the river. It's a beautiful ground.
I took the tube and then I walked.
Yeah.
And I walked with thousands of people.
Yeah.
Thousands upon thousands of people. The entrance I walked in and nearly hit my head. You know, because it's a small
little turnstiles, right?
A small little, you know, I guess brick entranceway.
Yeah,
it was awesome.
Yeah,
it was amazing, and I loved the. I even mentioned on the NFL game that I was there to call the next day. What an incredible scene it was watching all the Arsenal fans just in one section.
Yeah, yes.
Chanting nonstop.
Yeah, the cheering and the atmosphere, the singing,
Right, and I said that I couldn't mention on the broadcast what they were cheering. My colleague Kurt Warner said, what were they cheering? And I said, it rhymed with banker.
Yeah, that was, and those are the polite ones. Yeah.
But it was it was awesome. I wish I could have attended more, you know, while I was there.
Arsenal, good side. They're playing well.
Aren't they going to win it?
Well, it's still a long way to go. But
what do you think?
I mean, you know, again, there's I think the African Nations Cup comes on and West Point, there's a lot of teams lose some very important players.
Right.
And then if you're in as many competitions as Arsenal are still in,
right,
the players just can't play that many games without picking up injuries, you know.
Right.
So then you have to, it depends who gets injured, when they get injured, how bad their injury is, what their recovery time is, if they can come back in time for the big chase. But they're in a good spot. I never hear the end of it because my elder brother's an Arsenal fan.
Oh boy.
So he just lets me know all the time.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Who did your dad root for? Was he into this?
He wasn't really into what you guys call soccer that much. He's a big rugby fan. I think he was Manchester United, but that's because he'd met Georgie Best and was friends with Georgie Best briefly. And of course, Georgie Best was a famous Irish player.
Sure.
But he wasn't really big into football.
He wasn't a sporting guy, your dad?
He was a big sporting guy. He used to bet on the NFL teams.
Richard Harris used to bet on NFL football games.
He, for about 7 or 8 years, before the season started, he would go into a bookies in England and he would pick who was going to win the Super Bowl. And he was right about 6 or 7 times
out
of 10.
Get out of here.
Yeah. He would win a lot. I mean, I was sitting there going, Dad, can you give me the tip? I can make a bit of money.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Who was the most famous person you met through your father?
Wow. Frank Sinatra.
Okay. All right. What do you got? What do you got for me here?
Well, so because Dad knew Frank and Sammy Davis Jr. and all that crowd. And Sinatra used to do these New Year's Eve concerts in Miami. And we lived in the Bahamas. So we'd fly up to Miami, stay in a hotel for a couple of days and go to the concerts.
Was that the Fountainebleau Hotel?
Yeah.
Okay. The famous pictures of him strolling around, you know, with all the sunbathing people, and he's dressed like he's straight out of Goodfellas.
Yeah, okay. I mean, he was a bit older at that point, but okay. And we would meet him before the concert and chat to him. He was really lovely, very, very generous and personable. And then he would call Dad out during the concert. And I remember one of them was, because it was the only 2 times I see my father Star Trek. One was then, and the other time was on the phone with Marlon Brando. But so Frank Sinatra would call out people who were in the audience. He said, "We've got this great actor here, one of the greatest actors in the world, Richard Harris." You see him in this and that. "Stand up, Richard." And Dad got up and he was all shy, I guess, and he said some more lovely things about him. And then he says, "Okay." And as he sat down, he goes, "Oh, he also sings." He goes, "I don't know if you've heard him sing. If you have, I don't know if you can call it singing."
Good one, Frank. I'm sure everyone was laughing about that one. And then he was on the phone with Marlon Brando, and he got all sunburned.
Well, so he and Marlon fell out over on, I don't know if you've got time for this.
Please.
They fell out on Mutiny on the Bounty, because Marlon, he'd agreed to sign up to do the movie, but he wanted to do focus on what happens when they get to Pitcairn Island, and they have the chance to create Utopia, and they mess it up. And he was interested in that idea. And they went, but we have to get there first. So, you know, we need to do the mutiny. We need to do the sea voyage. We get there. But, yeah, that's a great idea. We're going to do that.
Right.
And as the rewrites came in, that part drifted further and further and further away. And he realized he'd been conned into doing the movie. So he was pissed. So he started fighting with Carol Reed, who was the original director of the movie. And at a certain point, they're sort of 5 months into the shoot and it's over budget and everything. And their relationship had broken down and they let Carol Reed go and they had to get a new director. So they sent everybody home.
Yeah.
And this is a different story here. Hang on. There's 2 stories here. So they sent everybody home and they said, "Listen, we're going to reconvene after the holidays." And Dad said, "I'm not going back. I've had enough, you know." And he went, "Well, you have to come back." He says, "But I'm not." He goes, "Well, we'll give you more money." He goes, "I'm not interested in money. I don't want any more money. I'm not coming back." They said, "Well, what do you want?" "I want my name above the title."
Oh.
And he went, "You can't. It's Marlon Brando and Trevor Howard." He says, yes, but when it's Marlon Brando, Trevor Howard, and Richard Harris, then I'll come back. But otherwise, I'm not coming back. You guys can go to hell. So they agreed. They put his name above the title. And slight red herring. When the movie comes out, the premiere,
yeah.
Robert Mitchum goes to the premiere here in Los Angeles and calls Dad up and goes, God, you know, everyone's talking about you. I mean, you know, it's Marlon Brando, Trevor Howard, but everyone's talking about you. He goes, really? What are they saying? They're going, who the fuck's Richard Harris?
That's amazing.
But Marlon wouldn't show up for his off-camera work.
Yeah.
So Dad said, you know, his last day of filming is the scene where Marlon's dying. And he dug a hole in the ground. And they put ice in there, and then mm-hmm. they covered it. So when he's lying, he's shivering, and Marlon wouldn't show up for his off camera lines. So Dad did his bit, and he drew Marlon's face on a apple box and said, "I'll act with that. I don't need him." And so Dad was finished, wrapped, was going to come home.
Yeah,
I'd been born, and he hadn't seen me. I was about 7 months old. He'd mm-hmm. never seen me. And Marlon demanded that he come back and do his off-camera lines. So he gave him the apple ball and he said, use this. I got more out of this than I did out of you. And he took off. So they never spoke for a long, 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 long time. And they happened to be in the same hotel in London.
Mm-hmm.
And so Dad called up Marlon and said, listen, let's bury the hatchet. So Marlon comes down to Dad's suite. And Marlon, he was always looking for the needle, you know. Mm-hmm. So he's sitting chatting to Dad, and he goes, "What's that great Irish song? It's so beautiful. It's about the boy. And Dad goes, "Danny boy." He goes, "That's the one. I love that song. Sing it for me, right?" And Dad goes, "Marlon Brando is going to make me sing him a song, right?" So he thinks, what's the one thing that Marlon will hate more than I'm going to hate singing for him, right? And he goes, "I'll sing you Danny Boy for you if you'll talk to me about acting for 1 hour, right?" And Marlon says, okay. So Dad sings the song for him, and Marlon tries to change the subject. He says, "No, now you have to talk about acting for 1 hour." So he goes, "Oh." He looks at his watch. He goes, "All right, ask me a question, but okay, I'll talk to you for an hour." Because that's the worst subject in the world that you could talk to Marlon Brando about. He'd be least interested in. They finish talking. He goes upstairs. I arrive, and he goes, "You've just missed Marlon Brando." At that point, I was beginning my career, so yes. I would love to have met him. So he calls up Marlon to try and see if he'll come down and come say hello. But he wasn't having it. But he was bouncing on the phone like a guy trying to get a date with a girl, you know.
You didn't want to sing one more song, maybe,
yeah,
for you?
Exactly.
Oh, my God. Wow. That is an amazing... Those are two great stories. Thank you for sharing them. Before I let you go, I also did not know this about you, Jared Harris. Are you a Duke Blue Devil?
Well, I went to Duke.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you're not...
I only went to one basketball game.
Because you were there when
yeah.
Coach K
yeah.
took the blue.
Yeah.
I looked it up.
Yeah.
You graduated. Look at you, by the way, right there.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
The dog right there on.
Yeah, that's Jeff Bennett. We made a movie together while we were at Duke. He was a proper genius. He taught himself cinematography. He built a dolly system.
No kidding.
Yeah.
You guys are smart. But yeah. I looked it up. You graduated the year that Coach K made his first ever NCAA tournament as coach.
Yeah. No, it was a big deal. You had to camp out overnight to get into Cameron, which I wasn't prepared to do.
You never had to. Yeah. That was the follow-up question. Yeah. You were not one of the Cameron crazies?
I went once. And I was walking past Cameron. I knew the game was on, and there was no line. So I thought, I'll pop in. So I popped in, grabbed a seat. Place is going crazy.
Yeah.
Right? And I used to go to all the football games, so I knew there were four quarters in American sports.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's coming to the end of the second period, and they're fighting like mad. They're calling times out and everything. And with sort of 1.5 seconds to go, they get the ball. They get, one of those plays. And boom, he gets the three-pointer. And they're 1 point ahead, and the whole crowd erupts and floods down onto the floor. And mm-hmm. I go, this is a bit premature, isn't it? It's only half time. Right? So I was there, and I still missed it.
I mean, you were there. I looked That's it up. Awesome. Johnny Dawkins, Tommy Anacker, yeah. our buddy Jay Billis. They were. You were there for pretty big.
Yeah.
You only went to one
only
game.
One. But I do remember the last.
There he is.
The last game of my senior year. The final was between. Was it Chapel Hill and UNC?
Oh, yeah, with Dean Smith.
With Dean Smith and Michael Jordan. Clyde the Glide Drexler.
So you never went to see Jordan play the Duke, huh?
No.
No, okay. But you were there. Yeah,
I was. Was I?
Yes, where were you? I love it. Awesome. Thanks for coming back, man.
Bless you.
House of Dynamite. Everybody see it on Netflix. And then see Reawakening first. Why not? It is something that is available on Apple and Prime Video, available right now. Jared Harris in both. Always great to see
you. Bless you, man. Thank you so much.
Right back at you. Thanks for coming here. At Jared Harris on Instagram as well to follow this man right here on The Rich Eisen Show.
Thank you.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Meet the computer you can talk to. With Copilot on Windows, working, creating, and collaborating is as easy as talking. Got writer's block? Share your screen with Copilot Vision to help spark inspiration and use Copilot Voice to have a conversation and brainstorm ideas. Or maybe you need some tech help. With Copilot Vision, Copilot sees what you see. Let Copilot talk you through step-by-step guidance so you can master new apps, games, and skills faster. Try now at windows.com/copilot.
O'Shea Jackson Jr. is here to help wrap up our show. Hyundai Hope on Wheels. Everybody check out HyundaiUSA.com. Search up Hyundai Hope on Wheels to learn more about what I'm about to tell you. If you already don't know, I love talking about it. 27 years it's been going on. Over that, ever since every Hyundai sold has helped fund life-saving pediatric cancer research. Together with over 850 dealers nationwide, they've raised more than $277 million supporting over 25,000 kids in their fight against cancer. At Hyundai, hope isn't optional. It comes standard. I am thankful for you, O'Shea Jackson Jr. I love that you're part of this world here and the No Contest Wrestling, you and TJ. It's been a great first year. Plus, it's awesome, man. What are you doing for Thanksgiving? Where is it?
Oh, well, you know, I've been on a very strict diet, so I will be breaking that.
Attaboy.
Aggressively.
Attaboy.
Like, it is going to be unholy.
How aggressive?
Don't look at me in my eyes. Don't reach too close to my plate. You might pull back a nub. It's time.
Pull back a nub, everybody. Where is it at mom and dad's?
Yeah.
What is Thanksgiving at the Cube's house look like?
Oh,
paint the picture for me, please.
Well, it's going to be, there will be some sports on for sure.
Okay.
But we eat early. That way we constantly come back and get
how early?
Plates throughout
the
day.
Is this 4 o'clock?
We'll get about three, four.
Three?
Yeah, wow. Amazing. Yeah.
That's aggressive.
Right. And then from there, you know, you're just getting plates all day, naps in between, and kicking it with the family. It's gonna be great.
Okay.
I'm thankful for everybody here, especially TJ, because the Cowboys helped my Rams get to first place.
Okay.
21-0 is crazy. Carl Anthony Towns, don't ever disrespect the Big Tuna again.
Hey, listen.
Big Tuna.
Big Altoona, Pennsylvania.
Oh, I see. Now tuna. I'm picking it up. Okay, it's T-O-O-N-A, tuna as in fish.
No, Big Tuna.
Is Dad carving? You carve? Who carves?
No. That's all Dad business. He loves it. He gets a kick out of it.
Out of carving?
Yeah. You know, he loves to just rip the carcass apart. It's a lot of pent-up Ice Cube aggression, I'm sure. It comes from somewhere. A dark place.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. What's the grand total? Of kids, grandkids, what do we got here?
Well, I mean,
how many
my
reptiles?
Obviously, we have my daughter Jordan, but my brother Daryl has added two new additions.
Okay.
You know, my nephew Zeke and my brother's wife Janet. Shout out to Janet.
Okay,
has my niece in there too, and she'll be coming December.
So you'll be the second person eating for two, you and you.
Yeah, man. I love me some meat, let me tell you.
You and the pre-diet you.
Yeah, man. So I'm pumped.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what is the pre-diet? What else? It's turkey? What else? What do we got?
We're going to turkey. You got your mac and cheese, of course, which I honestly was not at the first Thanksgiving dinner. but
yes, it was definitely not
mac and cheese.
There was a mac and cheese at the Plymouth Rock situation.
Candy yams is going to be there. I'm a big yams guy.
You're a yams guy.
And you know, whatever else gets in the way, desserts for sure. You know, key lime pie will be there.
Pumpkin pie will be there. Ladies and gentlemen,
yeah, it's going to be aggressive, man. I plan to go full comatose.
Ladies and gentlemen. O'Shea Jackson's
morning. Congratulations.
My blood is here to help wrap up our final live show of the week. Check out our YouTube channel. We'll be reacting to all the games on Thursday and Friday and another What's More Likely. It's all coming on our YouTube channel. Back to wrap it up on Disney Plus in a sec.
Thanks for listening to the Rich Eisen Show podcast. You can watch and listen to the Rich Eisen Show live weekdays from noon to 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, Disney Plus, and on the ESPN app. The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.